south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, just a little tip, seeing that I've been involved in many construction projects here in Latin America, at least 15 by my count. One very annoying thing you'll find when you've completed a project and 1 or 2 or 3 years go by. Surprise, surprise. All of your visible bolts and screw heads will start rusting. Hey, why wouldn't they? With a 6-month rainy season down here and very high humidity during that time, anything that's not painted, galvanized, or stainless steel, or of course made out of aluminum, will start to rot. Oh, and even galvanized steel will start to rot eventually, so you shouldn't think that stuff's going to last a lifetime. Unless, of course, you're a baby boomer, then you've got a limited amount of ticks and tocks left on your clock. Anyway, if you're a young adult, you shouldn't be thinking of galvanized steel as lifetime stuff. And as for aluminum, I see one of the big mistakes a lot of people make is when they buy aluminum frame windows. That's pretty much the standard down here these days. Don't ever get wooden windows. That's a big mistake. They look nice, but the rainy season and humidity eventually does them in, too. So, in most cases, aluminum window frames are the way to go. But after a few years, they can look pretty crappy too. But that's only if you buy the cheaper ones, which are not anodized. They don't rust, they just start looking kind of dull. They get a powdery surface on them and, well, look cheap. My suggestion, always get the anodized aluminum windows. They may be a little more costly, but you can get them in colors too then. You've seen them, black, white, bronze, but almost never natural aluminum colored. Isn't it funny that aluminum windows that look like the color aluminum are generally the cheaper, crappier ones? Bottom line, do go for the anodized aluminum windows. They will not rot or deteriorate. The finish will hold up. It'll last. Now, I've noticed lately with a lot of new buildings, they're putting in vinyl-clad windows. Now, I know they've been proven up north in the States, but for me, the jury's out yet. I'm not quite convinced. Sure, they can take humidity in the rainy season, but it's the sun I'm thinking about. Now, you know, down here, if your car park doesn't have a roof over it, in a year or two, the car parts made out of plastic are really going to suffer for it. That's why I'm not totally convinced on these vinyl windows. Time will tell. But back to that construction problem that really bugs me. The fact that contractors, builders, even handymen, continue to use plain steel or just galvanized steel screws and bolts for every project. That means in a couple of years, they're guaranteed to start rusting and look terrible. That's even if they're not exposed to outside weather conditions. With the naturally higher humidity here in Latin America, that means even screws in your closets that never see any sunlight or rain are bound to rot. That goes for nails, screws, and bolts in walls too, the ones you can't see. Oh, and not to mention, the longer they rust, the weaker they get. And when they start looking bad enough, Latinos will just paint right over them. Then in a year or two, or maybe even within a month if you're using water-based paint, the rust will pop right through in the very same spot once again. Now, thankfully, most all good construction down here is made with cement block and rebar. Wood is nice, all right, especially when you're using rainforest hardwoods for your doors and trim. But stick-built 2x4 walls like they have up in the States, not recommended here in Latin America. But even with all that cement, block, glass, and rebar used most exclusively down here, there'll still be some wood, like windows, doors, frames, etc. So there'll always be places in your house where you'll use bolts and screws, like when you're hanging shelves or gutters or fastening down a roof or just hanging pictures on a wall. So, if your bolts and screws are just going to rot in a couple of years, what are you supposed to do? Well, there is a permanent and a very satisfactory solution. Again, it'll cost you a little dough, but it's worth it in the long run. Just insist your contractor or builder uses stainless steel bolts and screws, at least when they're exposed to the elements outside, or even when bolts and screws are hidden completely on the inside of a wall, let's say. But it's out of sight, out of mind, you know. No one cares about that stuff, but should you worry? Not really. Sure, inside walls, attics, and crawl spaces, bolts and screws will rust. That's why you should try to use galvanized screws and bolts in those hidden areas. Though eventually they'll rust too, but only superficially. They'll still be strong, they'll hold up. But rust is ugly. Thankfully, you won't see it. And, well, as far as rebar rusting in concrete and concrete block, yeah, it rusts all right, but only superficially. But that's life in the construction biz. That's the way it's always been. The good news is that buildup of rust on rebar doesn't seem to harm the concrete it's embedded in. Sure looks ugly, though. Because you see, rebar has little ribs in it all the way down the length of the steel bar. So concrete, when poured around it, works its way into those grooves and locks right into it. But it rusts all right. I'm sure you've seen buildings that have been recently demolished. There's rebar sticking out everywhere and it's all rusted. But even so, it's still strong. It will last 100 years because rebar is thick. The sizes start at 3/8 of an inch thick all the way up to an inch thick. But you'll never see that inch thick stuff in a house or a small project. That's for the big commercial stuff. Concrete highways, bridges, and high rises. But again, our problem has to do with those screws and bolts around the house. The ones you're going to see or paint over that will start rusting. Now, the obvious solution is to go down to the hardware store and buy stainless steel screws and bolts. But guess what? Almost no hardware stores here in Latin America, except the very, very big ones, will have any selection of stainless steel bolts and screws at all. Because, hint, hint, contractors almost never use them. They're just too expensive. And builders just want to make a sale and move on to the next project. They really don't care what happens to your building in 5 years. Like, for example, if the nail and screw heads start rusting through the paint job, if you complain about that, they'll laugh in your face. Anyway, if you do find a hardware store that has a selection of stainless screws, they're going to be 4 times as expensive as the common standard metal screws. Though at least in hardware stores down here, they have a pretty good selection of galvanized screws and bolts. But as mentioned, in a short while, they'll start looking pretty ratty too, though they'll still hold. They do what they're supposed to do. Oh, and by the way, galvanized screws are about twice as expensive as regular steel drywall screws. I'm sure you're familiar with regular drywall screws. They're everywhere. They come in boxes and they're sold by the thousands in every hardware store. But they're extremely vulnerable to rust and deterioration. Fact is, here in Latin America, they'll actually start rusting if you don't use them right away. You put them in a box on your shelf, you go to use them 6 months later, and sure enough, they're rusting and looking pretty ratty. That's another reason drywall's not a very good choice down here. Though I have to admit they're starting to use it all the time, especially when people are adding closets and drop ceilings and such. There's more and more drywall being used in commercial centers too. But still, the main building and main interior walls will be concrete block, rebar, and cement. But some of the rooms and interior walls will be drywalled, because it's easy to knock down and remodel when tenants leave. The influx of drywall these days is certainly the gringo influence, which is a-okay as long as it's not part of an exterior wall or touching a floor that occasionally gets wet. You longtime listeners have heard me mention that drywall acts like a sponge, a wick for water. So if you're going to use it, it has to be far away from any exterior surfaces exposed to water or potential leaks. Problem is, though, if you're using drywall, you have to use drywall screws, and they absolutely will rust. That's why if you're drywalling anywhere, you should absolutely consider using galvanized drywall screws. They're going to be twice as expensive as regular drywall screws, but who cares? It might add $30, maybe $50 to your project, but in the long run, wow, it'll save you an untold amount of grief. Now, of course, they do make stainless steel screws that you could use for drywall, but that would be massive overkill, believe me. But as mentioned before, there will be many places in your house and outside your house where screws and bolts are exposed to the elements or the inside air. That's when you should consider dropping a few extra bucks and using stainless steel. However, they don't sell that stuff at regular hardware stores. But they do have fastener specialty shops, sometimes known as the House of Screws. I'm not kidding you. La Casa del Tornillos. Yep, the House of Screws. I know there are houses with similar names, but the one I'm talking about is only open during the day. Now, I've been to a couple of these places, the daytime ones. And I find, or maybe it's my bad luck, that they're always out of whatever stainless steel screws I'm looking for. They never seem to have the complete assortment. Though, of course, you can find that stuff by the truckload on Amazon. And even with shipping, half again as cheap as the local House of Screws. So here's what I've done, and I'm in the middle of another construction project. I promised myself it would be the last one, but I said that the time before that, and the time before that, and the time before that. Hey, you have to keep busy. But it's not just about being busy. It's more than that. It's about getting things done the gringo first world way, not the let's get it done and get out of here mañana time Latino way. Do I sound like a jerk saying that? Won't be the first time. Well, hey, sorry about that, but it's the truth. You come on down here and stay a while, you'll see what I mean. In fact, Captain Mango is going through his first construction project growing pains and complaints right now. Every couple days, he shoots me a progress report and photos. One day, he's all smiles. The next day, he wants to kill someone. But we were talking about stainless steel bolts and screws, right? Well, my suggestion is order a box of assorted screws, washers, bolts, nuts, the works from Amazon, and keep them around the house. That way, when you're doing a little project or some of the existing bolts and screws around your house start rusting, looking bad, even bleeding through the paint, you just replace them with the stainless stuff. And the cool thing is you can buy that stainless stuff all sorted out with their own little individual plastic dividers. In fact, I always have one assorted box of stainless steel washers on hand. There's something like 300 washers in there, different sizes. And I have a box of assorted stainless steel Phillips head screws. There are 300 or more of those in a box too. I also have on hand a box of assorted stainless steel bolts and a box of assorted stainless steel washers. Now, if you want to know exactly what I have, the stuff I absolutely recommend you have around the house, send me an email, theexpatfinals@gmail.com, and I'll send you some photos and a list so you can order it too. Or not. Oh, and here's another thing you should know. When you go on Amazon, there are dozens and dozens of little boxes full of stainless steel stuff. You know, nuts, bolts, and screws. So, which ones should you get? Well, I've done the investigation. You don't have to do any work. But here's something that might throw you. Generally, when you buy stainless stuff, at least in hardware stores, when it's available, there are two grades of commonly used stainless steel. The most common and least expensive. It's called 304 stainless, and there's marine grade called 316 stainless steel. I say just get the cheaper one, the 304 stainless fasteners. Of course, the 316 stainless marine grade is extremely resistant to corrosion. That's why they're called marine grade. They use them on ships. As you probably know, salt water and salt air are extremely corrosive to metals. So yes, you could buy 316 marine grade stainless and use it everywhere, but it's overkill. Unless you're working on a boat. Or putting up solar panel rack and rail mounts. And the reason for that is solar panels are guaranteed for 25 years. And therefore the mounting racks have to hold up at least that long too. The thing is, here in Latin America, you're going above and beyond the call of duty by just getting general purpose number 304 commercial stainless steel screws and fasteners. A little information overload, you think? Well, not really, since there are 150 different kinds of stainless steel and we're only talking about two. And of course, if you're going to remain in a house or apartment a long, long time, you should be using that stuff here and there, wherever necessary. Then, on the other hand, that sort of insinuates if you're not going to be in a place very long, why in the hell should you bother? The problem is, that's how Latin American building contractors look at things. Over the very short term. That's why after first world people move into a place here in Latin America, after the honeymoon phase is over, the complaints about all the defects, etc. start piling up. And it's true, some gringos and expats never get over the construction extremes they see down here. For example, when you're looking at high-end apartments or townhouses, places with beautiful Spanish tile roofs and floors, marble countertops, real marble tops that 99% of people up in the States could never afford. They've got all that down here. Meanwhile, in these same high-end places, they've installed the cheapest, most lightweight stainless steel kitchen sink. So flimsy that the faucets vibrate when you turn the water on. And the faucets, too, are often plastic garbage. It just doesn't make sense. But hey, you get used to it. And if you're going to live in that place for an extended period of time, most gringos and expats will change to a decent quality name brand like Moen. You know Moen, right? M-O-E-N. Formerly made in the U.S. like everything else, and now China and Mexico. Yep, they got all the name brands down here too, and if they don't, you can just order it right off Amazon. Hey, and once again, just a disclaimer here, I'm not 100% on board with Amazon. I'm not a big fan. I don't like their woke politics or parasitic business plan. Worse yet, what really turns me off about Amazon, and this has been going on a long time, if you're buying something and you scroll down the payment options, you'll see they take the EBC welfare card. That's right. If you don't believe me, have a look next time you're on Amazon and are checking out. If that doesn't beat all, though it doesn't surprise me. I mean, really, after this COVIDiot crap and making a hero out of that lying sack of pus, Dr. Fauci, nothing surprises me. But Amazon accepting the welfare card? The thing is, those are your taxpayer dollars. What right do welfare recipients have getting free stuff on Amazon that you and I have to work for? Hey, I got an idea. If you're a welfare recipient and you want to buy stuff on Amazon, how about you have to actually work? Put in hours at one of those Amazon warehouses they're building everywhere. How about they pay you in Amazon credits to buy stuff on Amazon? But that would be too logical, wouldn't it? Oh, and yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot. It's inhumane to actually ask people to work, especially these days when there's signs everywhere begging people to work for $15 plus an hour and still almost no takers. Man, am I glad I got the hell out of Dodge when I did. How about you? Have you reached your limit yet? What kind of straw will it take to break the camel's back for you? Sorry, if you're too woke to handle what I just said, just change the dial. Turn on Ellen, Oprah, or CNN. Enough said about that. Anyway, suffice it to say, I've got a love-hate relationship with Amazon. And I'm not the only expat down here who thinks that way. And I'm thinking most of you listeners up in the States and Canada think that way too. Okay, moving on. Did you know that only a month after rolling out that Chivo Bitcoin app in El Salvador, 3 million people there are using it? You know what that means? Right now, as we speak, more people in Salvador are using the Bitcoin Chivo app than the number of people who actually have real bank accounts. Yeah, right. And the IMF and the World Bank say Bitcoin is bad for the country. Oh, and El Salvador's offered another benefit to incentivize middle and upper middle class residents, not just poor people, the ones who don't have bank accounts. This new incentive is for people who have vehicles. Here's what they've done. Every gas station in El Salvador will now give you, if you pay in Bitcoin, a 20-cent per gallon discount on every fuel purchase. Oh, and other countries are looking very closely at the El Salvador Bitcoin experiment. In fact, next in line, looking to make Bitcoin legal tender and or give it expanded use in their countries. You've got Honduras, Ecuador, Uruguay, Paraguay, and Brazil. They're all in the process of working up legislation, if not to make Bitcoin legal tender, to at least make it legal to be used in every business and commercial transaction. And even though we all know politicians are lard-ass sacks of pus and are only motivated by money, sometimes they inadvertently make a move in the right direction. The thing is, they know they can only steal so much, but if there's economic growth, they can squeeze more taxes out of people. That gives them a bigger pot to steal from. And to get real economic growth, you must create more real jobs and or have more remesas into your country, foreign exchange funds. And right now, companies like MoneyGram and Western Union are stealing 10% of all the remesas coming into every Latin American country. That's the middleman skim right off the top. So even corrupt politicians know that if they can cut out the middleman like Western Union and MoneyGram, that's an instant 10% increase in spending power for all the people getting remesas in their country. And you know, Latin American political thieves get their money three ways. Number one, they get a salary. Number two, by skimming money idiot first world governments donate and grant, like the US, Switzerland, Canada, France, Japan, etc. And finally, number three, the biggest chunk they steal comes from the VAT tax on everything bought and sold inside the country. And depending which Latin country you're in, that VAT tax, value-added tax, called IVA, IVA here, is anywhere from 10 to 30%. That's on everything you buy. Now remember, in many Latin countries, remesas can make up a third or more of the entire economy. So if by cutting out Western Union and MoneyGram, the middlemen thieves who take 10%, that means that 10% will be spent within the country. And when it's spent, the government will collect its value-added tax, the IVA. That means more funds for those with their filthy mugs deep in the trough. Are you getting the logic here? Politicians, by making Bitcoin legal tender or legal in transactions, will directly and automatically increase their tax revenues. So again, they're not doing it out of the goodness of their hearts to help the poor rise up to the middle classes. It's about the money, isn't it always? But at least in the case of legal use of Bitcoin, the average poor person getting remises will get an instant 10% increase in spending power. What's not to like about that? And the trickle-down effect will benefit everyone, including postulant politicians. Yep, that's the way of the world. On top of that, you've got middlemen like Western Union robbing an entire nation of its wealth. And everyone thinks it's normal. They let it happen. I believe a third of El Salvador's GDP comes from remesas. Hey, no wonder big banksters hate Bitcoin and cryptos. I mean, look, what are banks but middlemen, right? They get their cut coming and going. You pay them to give you permission to have a credit card. Then you pay them a usury interest on top of that. You pay them, too, to hold your money in an account or to have stuff in a safety deposit box. You know, my uncle, who was the first libertarian I ever met, even before they coined the term libertarian, he said, if you want to know who really runs this world, just go down to any big city business district and see for yourself who's got the biggest, slickest, most expensive buildings. Number one, governments. Number two, banks. Number three, insurance companies. And coincidentally, he said, and this was back in the 70s, notice how none of those three entities actually makes a physical product you can use and hold in your hand. In other words, they're all middlemen. Just like the mafia taking their VIG, so-called protection money. Yet what we really need is protection, indemnization from them. That's what Bitcoin and cryptos offer, protection from three of the worst criminals in this world, governments, banks, and insurance companies. By the way, I'm sure you're hearing now about this Pandora paper thing. It looks like the majority of people who've had secret bank accounts who are on that list are politicians. Surprise, surprise. It just shows that some of the richest, most powerful people in the world, who paradoxically shouldn't be rich because they're on a government salary. Shades of O-Vomit, huh? Funny how so many politicians ended up on that list. Does that seem kosher to you? Public servants with secret foreign bank accounts? Used to buy millions, even billions of dollars worth of property, yachts, and luxury items? It's amazing, isn't it? All those millionaires on tiny little government salaries. Now, the other group of people who appear in the Pandora Papers. Wow, try saying that 10 times with a mouthful of crackers. Anyway, they were mostly regular business people with some no-good-nicks thrown in there for sure. But the amazing thing is how many politicians, even heads of state, had secret bank accounts that bought huge amounts of real estate, etc. As we all know already, leaks like this show us. Public servant scumbags in high places, the ones closest to the trough, sometimes hide their ill-gotten millions offshore. Now, that list, along with a lot of first-world political maggots, has, for example, Chile's president, Sebastian Piñera, as well as Dominican Republic president, Luis Abinader. Oh, and 11, count them 11, big-wig political scumbags from Honduras. But the next one, to me, is the capper. The leak of secret bank accounts includes three, count them three, former Panamanian presidents. Oh, and there's a whole slew of secret bank accounts owned by politicians from Venezuela, the Latin American country, surprisingly enough, that has the least obese population. Why? Because they're all on restricted calorie diets, except the military elite and the scumbag politicians. Meanwhile, the banks, the politicians, and the political elite, and the clueless Fed, say Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are used for money laundering. Though the fact is, every one of these jerks in the Pandora Papers laundered their money in U.S. dollars. Yep, we've got the world's leaders lecturing us all the time. You must pay your taxes. You must pay your fair share. And by now, I'm sure you know, Biden's genius team of advisors is putting together a bill where every American in every store and business will have to report any transaction or bank account balance over $600. As you probably know, especially if you've traveled overseas, there is a reporting requirement in effect, and it's been in effect for a long, long time, $10,000. And there's international agreement on that. When you go to Europe, Canada, Australia, Asia, when you fill out the entrance or departure information at the airport before and after your flight, they're always quizzing you about that $10,000 cash equivalent thing, aren't they? Anyway, can't you see what this Pandora Papers thing and the Panama Papers things before keep showing us over and over again? It tells us our lard-ass politicians are also raging hypocrites. They lie to us. They've always lied to us. We've all known that for a long, long time. But still, we want to believe there's a savior out there, so we vote. Well, you do anyway. I voted with my feet. Then the question is, why are you sitting up there in Cleveland or New Jersey? You must have some thick skin, all right. A really good tolerance for liars and hypocrites, since you haven't voted with your feet yet. Don't you get it? Those scumbags you voted for are avoiding the taxes they're screaming at you to pay. Oh, and this recent tax the rich business. Well, one of the main reasons for a sneaky politician to hide his wealth is to make it appear that he's not very rich at all. That way, when they vote to tax the rich, he's not included. Now, if you still vote, knock yourself out. Obviously, you still think the system works. Or perhaps you're a teacher, have a government job, or a contract with a government agency. Then, for you, it really does work. Listen, they created the fiat money system, which historically always goes to zero. They wrote the impossibly incomprehensible 71,000-page U.S. tax code, together with all the loopholes that allow them and their kind to slip through. There's still time, opt out, get out of Dodge, it's a broken, broken system. Meanwhile, our old buddy, expat Eddie, who I haven't mentioned in a long, long time, well, I hooked up with him again. Guess what? He's out on a buying spree. He's buying up real estate in various Latin countries. He's now sold off and divested from most of his businesses, kind of in a retirement state of mind, and he's got a lot of money, so he's been going around mostly Central America and the Caribbean looking for distressed properties to buy. After all, if you're holding dollars, you're losing to inflation every day. Holding dollars is a losing proposition, and Eddie's mostly in land and crypto. So he bought a property in Paraguay because it comes along with permanent residency. You've heard about those programs, right? In most Latin countries, if you spend between $100,000 and $300,000 on qualified real estate, and they're not too strict about it, they pretty much grant you permanent residency within 6 months. And Eddie's into the multiple flags thing, you know, used to be called the five flag system. He's got residency in, I think, four or five different countries now. And in his most recent venture, he bought a beautiful beach house in Panama. Fully furnished and in high style, he bought it from a very wealthy Latino guy who owned a cigar distribution company, import-export. Well, he used to be wealthy anyway. It turns out a couple of his containers got hung up on the high seas during the COVID thing. They got damaged, but the insurance company didn't pay out because they had way too many claims, and the reinsurers didn't pay, or the reinsurers' reinsurers. Anyway, this COVID thing, you know, has produced all kinds of loopholes and outs for insurance companies. If there's damage, people are rarely getting paid. So the Latino guy with a beautiful beach property and a house in Panama City and Cancun and apartment in Miami got sunk financially, and his wife divorced him at the same time. Double whammy. So expat Eddie found he definitely was a motivated seller. Now get this, the day the Latino owner turned the keys over to Eddie, the Latin guy's two little kids, 10 and 11 years old, were still hanging out in the pool. Hey, this is Latin America, right? Surely the kids were on mañana time. So anyway, Eddie and the seller were sitting under an umbrella right by the pool, knocking down a few Johnny Walkers. And the two little kids were on the edge of the pool nearby, and Eddie says to the little girl, "You kids, it's my pool now, don't pee in it." You know, he was trying to make a joke. Then the little girl stuck her hand up and held out four fingers. At first, Eddie didn't get it. Then she said, "Four times today, I peed in the pool four times." Then gave him a big smile. Eddie thought she was kidding until the boy next to her raised his hand with two fingers. He said, "Twice, for me." Now, here's the moral of that story. It's almost never talked about, but here in Latin America, kids and adults always pee in the pool. Hotel pool, your pool, doesn't matter. They just do it. I've gotten confirmation on that a number of times from past girlfriends, who, if you ask, will come right out and tell you. There's no shame or embarrassment involved. Seems just natural to them. So just know that next time you happen to be at a hotel or resort here in Latin America. You might mind your orifices, but others won't. That goes for your own pool parties, too. Oh, and by the way, you want to know what Eddie said after that little incident? He turned to the formerly wealthy Latino he just bought the house from, and he said, "I get it, no biggie. That's why God invented chlorine."
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.